Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We have a big show for you, but first, Billy Corgan and the Smashing Pumpkins are heading back on the road. First, on July 4th at an America 250 celebration, a block party benefit in Los Angeles, along with Chris Stapleton, Queen Latifah, and others. Back in Chicago, headlining Lollapalooza on July 31st, and all over the world, and back again in Chicago at the United Center on October 14th. Billy has his podcast, The Magnificent Others, with recent chats with Vernon White from Earth, Wind, and Fire, Todd Rundgren, Billy Idol, even Pat Boone, and some classic TV stars as well. And to talk about it all is my pal Billy Corgan. How are you, my friend?
Good. I'm so glad you mentioned me talking to Pat Boone. I just love that conversation. Pat's, I think, 91 years young.
Yeah.
And boy, what a life. What a story. And it was just great to talk to him. I was so thrilled that he came into my spot to talk to me.
He acts like he's 50 and he can talk forever, as you know.
Yeah, but you know, what a life.
I mean,
you know, I when I was talking to him, I said, you know, the most comparable thing I could think of is that in the 1950s, you were basically Justin Bieber. You know,
he was.
You know,
yeah.
And then, you know, extending the analogy further, then he married into a famous family,
right,
which is Red Foley, married her, and they were together until she passed away. So they had a successful marriage, obviously many children. And I mean, just what a life. I mean, just up and down, what a life.
And he stayed out there, too. I mean, he reinvented himself. I know when he did the heavy metal stuff. And I played a little of that when I had him on last year. I'm like, okay, you were really trying to. He goes, look, I was trying to stay relevant. And he honestly has stayed relevant for 91 years, right?
Yes, you know what? And he told me something that really surprised me. He apologized and he said, you know, I tried to get one of your songs on my heavy metal record, but I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And he knew the names of the songs. He was like, Bullet with Butterfly, was it Tonight Tonight? I really tried with those two songs. So I was like, the fact that you even tried, I was like, oh, that's
right?
So cool.
Right? I know. So, you and I are big geeks with this stuff. So I'm glad you're doing this podcast. I'm glad we'll talk about that too a little later, the classic TV stars you have. It's a total geek out. But this America 250 event in L.A., tickets are fittingly $17.76 each, with proceeds going to Feeding America, America 250's new giving campaign. Tickets just went on sale this week. Additionally, 5,000 tickets being donated to first responders, veterans, and service members, and other locations, too. There'll be concerts from all over the place. Summerfest up in Milwaukee, the Fort Campbell Festival in Kentucky, the South Carolina 250 celebration in Charleston, Boston, Philadelphia. I love this event. How cool is this?
Yeah, it's a congressional bipartisan event, you know, and I'm trust me, I'm happy to do something that's not political and just positive unity. And, you know, anything that leans into that messaging these days is something I'm all for.
Yeah. And this event's a big one. And I love that you're doing this, too. But then you're hitting the road. You're on the road for a while, man.
Well, don't forget, you glossed over the fact that I've got 12 melancholy opera shows in Europe September as well.
That's right.
You know, we originally put 7 on sale and they sold so fast that we've added 3 more and then another 2. So now we're up to 12. And I think honestly they would add more, but I've got to cut it off to come back to America to get ready for the Pumpkins Fall Tour, the Rats in the Cage Tour, where we're playing, I think, at the United Center, if memory serves me correctly.
You are playing at the United Center. How fun is this, though? I mean, you're having a great time, though, right?
I'm having a great time because, you know, I understand, you know, I'm not 25 and people are not following my every move. But, you know, for many years, I fought publicly and I got a lot of guff for it, which was like, look, I don't want to be an oldies artist. I'm just not interested. I honestly think it's really counterintuitive to ask great artists. And if you don't want to include me in that, that's fine. But to ask great artists to basically turn into a jukebox.
Yeah.
And as you've seen with recent interest in Paul McCartney's record, I think the public is kind of starting to understand that the musical life of artists is going to be a lot longer than what we grew up with. You know, Pete Townsend famously wrote, I hope I die before I get old. Well, the Who are still out there playing, at least until recently. The Stones, I think, well, I guess they were going to tour, but Keith's health is an issue. But look, the Stones have a new record out, you know. It's just, we've got to get out of this. I just don't want to be in the mentality of having to always be beholden to the past. So on a celebratory cycle like this is with celebrating melancholy at 30 or 31, this is the right time for us to kind of lean into that, but also do other cool stuff that's forward leaning. So for example, the set we're playing at United Center, we're doing two sets. The first set is melancholy, and the second set will be a little bit of a surprise. Gothic for sure. So, but the point is, I just want to be an artist and I want to do cool stuff. And I love celebrating what we've done in the past. That's great. I just don't want to be beholden to it like it's like a religious thing. And if I break from it somehow, it's heretical when I'm the guy who made the songs. It's kind of a weird thing.
And I
famously sang, you know, about being a rat in a cage, you know, and the joke on that was, I realized in the record business, no matter how big you got, you were just in a bigger cage. And there was somebody always standing there telling you what to do. So here I am 30 years later saying, look, I just want to do what I want to do. And I think if the public would trust me here and there, we get around to all the stuff that they would want. But there's other things that you got to do. And that's where the opera comes in. And it's been very successful.
This is going to keep, this next generation of life here. We're the same age. This is going to keep us young. And we have young families. So this is what's going to keep us out there, keep us interesting, all that. But you also know there's bands out there that have one member left out of 10 people that are still going around and performing on stage.
Yeah.
And that I almost feel kind of sad about. Like, I love the music. I would rather just throw on some vinyl and listen to the original album than going to see what's left.
I'm not here to quibble with you, because I've been in the situation where there was a time in the Pumpkins where I was the only original member. And it was definitely a struggle at times for people to kind of balance in their minds. I always felt like I was in the cast of Friends, and if they didn't see the whole cast, people were disappointed. It didn't matter how good we played. So at least in our case, you know, we're three quarters intact. But I will say, having had done it and talked to a lot of artists who are in that situation where it's one or two original members, they tell me over and over again, the fans just want to hear the music.
Yeah.
They're less attached to the original members, and they're more attached to the idea of, like, I want to go to have a live experience and I want to hear the music. And look, Foreigners out there with no original members.
That's crazy.
And they're still doing really good business. Journey, Steve hasn't been with Journey for how many years?
Oh, yeah.
And,
decades.
So, look, Journey's a stadium act.
Yeah.
Toto's a stadium act. Oh, I still love seeing
Kevin Cronin out there and doing his thing.
So that's kind of what I'm trying to say is ultimately the public decides what's valuable. And I think in the case of the bands that we grew up on, the public has said, we want to hear the music, and it's okay that not everybody's standing there. And in some cases, obviously members have passed and that's an impossibility.
Of course. You also are a fan though of a lot of this music, and you just hit the Songwriters Hall of Fame and brought down the house with Rock and Roll All Night. And then you inducted Gene Simmons, who wasn't there, but Paul Stanley, who attended, of Kiss. How cool was that to also play somebody else's big hit? I mean, you brought down the house.
Yeah, well, it was cool because Gene and Paul asked me to do the induction, so that was an honor in of itself.
Yeah,
and I've been listening to Kiss now for 50 years, so just as a fan, not even speaking as whoever people think I am in the world, to be part of their story, having started with them 50 years ago, to know them personally, to have interviewed them both, it's such a cool thing. It's like the ultimate fan thing. And they're really great people behind the scenes. I mean, they can play different characters live, Starchild and the Demon. But, you know, behind the scenes, they've been nothing but supportive to me as an artist. I mean, of all the bands I've ever worked with, probably Kiss, more than any other artist, has been supportive of me behind the scenes.
That's awesome.
It's been really a remarkable thing. And they have... And by the way, that's a reputation they have across the spectrum. They're just one of those bands that somehow shared their grace with others. And I just think that's a great testament to their legacy.
I love it. And you keep putting out new music, too. And I also love this, and people might not know this, but at the Tea Shop, Madame Zuzu's in Highland Park, you're always releasing some very cool vinyl, like limited edition things. And your wife, Chloe, is often involved in some of the artwork donning the albums as well.
Yeah, we've set up a business over time, over I guess the last 7 years, where we're able to sell a lot of things that are unreleased through the Tea House, MadameZuzu's.com, and we sell a ton of vinyl. Last year we put out the Pumpkins Machine, a box set,
Yeah.
4,000 plus box sets we sold of like 8 records a piece. We sold Pumpkins Live in Europe 1992, 13 record box set, made up 1,000 of those. So we're selling a lot of cool vinyl. So we've become a big retailer now. Now we're talking to record labels about releasing music by other artists because we've started selling so much vinyl. We're actually working on curating our own Zuzu's editions. I can't say who we're working with per se, but I can tell you working with Rhino Records in particular.
Oh, that's cool.
To release maybe unreleased things or reissue certain things, or I almost do my own mixtape of certain artists. So we're working on that now. And so that's the next step in our sort of evolution as a business. So it's a great pleasure to share not only our unreleased music, but also the great music for other artists.
And it's probably because I introduce it to them, but my kids love vinyl. They all have record players in their room. At least my two youngest ones do, living at home, but they love vinyl. They love the artwork. Like my daughter has behind her bed, little shelves, and she must have 40 albums up on her wall from every era because, you know, albums are artwork. And even when vinyl was big back when we were younger, I mean, I loved going to a record store and just paging through. And it was the cover was just as important as the music was.
Here's something to make you laugh. In 1993, when we put out our album Siamese Dream, which was a very big record, we went back to the label after the album was out and said, we'd like to do a vinyl edition. And they said, why? No one cares. So we literally had to beg to put out like a limited edition vinyl in 1993. That's how down vinyl was in 1993. Wow. And now, of course, those pressings of that album are like, you know, $300 to $500 collector's items.
It's true. Well, the cover of Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness always receives critical acclaim for the album cover. But I was looking at like, what does Rolling Stones consider the top five of all time? And I want to see if you agree with this, because I know you have in your head album covers that you absolutely love. But number one, and this surprised me, it did surprise me because it's very simple, is Joy Division, Unknown Pleasures from 1979.
I do agree with that. It is one of the great album covers of all time.
Number two, The Beatles' Abbey Road. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
And I go Sgt. Pepper over
Sgt. Pepper. Okay. Number three, Sly and the Family Stone, There's a Riot Going On.
Agree with that one.
Okay. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. I mean, iconic.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How many t-shirts is that sold?
Right. I know. It's very true.
Let's just go with t-shirts.
It's very true. Notorious B.I.G., Ready to Die is number five. And I had to look that one up and look at it.
Yeah. I don't know.
What other albums come to mind?
I have to think about that. Oh, geez. Pet Sounds comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so, I mean, if you really think about it, the Beach Boys, you know, were a huge, huge band in the 60s. But in many ways, they kind of helped invent alternative rock. And now what people call bedroom rock, which is kind of singer-songwriters in their bedrooms. So really, that's the kind of that's the dawn of a different era, and really brings in the singer-songwriter era in the 70s in LA. So I don't know.
I'm glad you said that, because you need to have Mike Love on your podcast. I have him on almost every year, and I just love talking to that guy. He's a walking encyclopedia about just music in general.
I had the great fortune once of being on a flight from Australia to Los Angeles with Mike.
Oh, nice.
And it was one of those Virgin. It was one of those Virgin flights where they kind of have a bar.
Yeah.
So we sat at the bar for hours and just talked, and he told me about his friendship with James Brown. And I mean, I just heard so many incredible stories. I mean, what a life just Mike Love has had.
Icon. Billy Corgan, Lollapalooza in July, the United Center in October, smashingpumpkins.com for more. And there's more with Billy right after this on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Billy Corgan is with us, the Smashing Pumpkins, on tour all this summer. Okay, the Magnificent Others, getting on the other side of the mic, interviewing some very interesting people. And I know you and Sean and a bunch of other people were at the Brady Bunch house recently, which I just geek out about. Anytime I'm in LA, I usually do a drive-by by the Brady Bunch house and the Cunningham house from Happy Days, because they're very close to one another. But you spoke to Greg Brady himself. You spoke to Tabitha Bewitched. So, again, I know the TV geek that you are. So you must love that, just going back in time and talking to these people on these shows that we watched for 20, 30, 40 years of our life.
Well, if you could have told me when I was watching, endless reruns of the Brady Bunch, in Glendale Heights, Illinois, circa, 1979 or whatever it was, that I would one day be sitting with Greg Williams,
Barry Williams,
Barry Williams, sorry, he gets it too, so I apologize to Barry. Yeah. Sitting with Barry in the recreated Brady house inside the house, but it's the actual Brady house on the outside, which is even more bizarre. And talking about his incredible, what a life story. Talking about reinventing himself. He reinvented himself as kind of almost like a cabaret show star in Bramson.
Yep.
And he's wildly successful. And he just embraced his skills and his talents. And he's had a wonderful, cool life. And what a cool guy to know. Even I've been to dinner with him. And just, I just love the idea that there are people, in this world who sort of say, okay, I kind of went off on one trajectory, but I kind of refuse to accept that. You're not going to define me with this one thing or these two things. And as an artist who was very defined by the 90s and the success of the grunge era in the 90s, I had a bunch of people put stuff on my shoulders that I just didn't want. And if I didn't want it, I was called ungrateful or, a heretic and all this stuff. And I'm really happy to sort of outlived all that.
That's cool. That's cool. I talked to Barry too once about him and David Cassidy, who really had the big career after all that. And he will argue it's him. And I think he's right, too. I think he's right, too. Shameless plug. I have to get you. I know you're just a crazy guy right now, but I got to get you next time you're in the city to the Broadcast Museum, because I know you will geek out. Not only do we have an expansive Bozo exhibit, but we have the family classic set from Fraser Thomas back in, because GNTV took it for a little bit because Dean Richards redid the show for a few years and so forth. So the family classic set is there. We've got Ray Rayner, Cuddly Dudley, all the stuff. We got to get you there to look at that. But it's also this tribute to late night television. So we've got Johnny Carson set there. We've got Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. We've got some stuff from Letterman, stuff from Jay Leno, stuff from Conan. And the Colbert set there, too. So we got to get you there and geek out a little bit.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, crazy. You listed all those great late night shows. I've been on all of them.
Which yes, you have.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just talk about, I can't believe that happened, too. But I do love me some local GN, television history.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I still dream one day we'll bring Bozo back. I still dream. Of course, I know David Arquette, who owns the Bozo brand. And we're still waiting to see what David's going to do with that.
Yeah.
I've even talked to, your big bosses over there at WGN.
Yeah.
Begging and pleading, can we bring Bozo back someday?
Yeah. You have a face in front of one of them. You got to keep reminding him and telling him that. I know Arquette's coming back in the fall. He's doing some Scream tour, something or other on stage. So maybe we can pull him in and have a group conversation about all this.
Yeah. He's got some interesting ideas, but we live in this crazy world where, the internet sort of dictates everything. So
it does. It does.
I think he's still trying to figure it all out, but I hope he does.
I hope so too. Billy Corgan, the Smashing Pumpkins are heading back on the road first on July 4th at an America 250 celebration in Los Angeles. Back in Chicago headlining Lollapalooza on the 31st, all over the world, back again in Chicago at the United Center on October 14th. You got to check out his podcast. It's called The Magnificent Others. And for all of it, and it's all included on the website, smashingpumpkins.com, including Madame Zuzu's and some cool vinyl there as well. Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Nice to talk to you. See you soon.
See you soon. All right. News is next here on 720 WGN.